Okay. All right. So what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Hello, and welcome to the Celtic Life International Podcast, a.k.a. Clip, where we provide you just a slice of Celtic life. Although, for this particular episode, it's safer to say we're providing more of a sip than a slice, because our most recent issue was all about Celtic drinks, both craft beers and spirits. I'm joined today with my fellow managing editor, Rebecca Dingwell. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. And yourself?
Oh, you know, it's been a busy few weeks, but all good over here.
You correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's safe to say this whole issue maybe started with Steven wanting to get you and Caitlin drunk. Is that does that sound accurate? Because we mentioned in the last podcast I might do a white wine tasting with you guys, and now here we are with this special liquor section.
Yeah, so I had pitched the idea of doing craft beer in particular to Steven a little while ago, just because craft beer and writing about craft beer has kind of become a passion of mine in the last couple of years. And mm-hmm. I thought it would be fun to find out what that side of things is like in the Celtic world. Mm-hmm. And since Steven, I think, had sort of jokingly brought up Caitlin and I doing like a podcast recording over a bottle of wine or two, I thought, okay, well, I'll pitch the idea of doing a beer tasting where I, you know, select a few different kinds of beer, most of them sort of having some sort of Celtic connection, or at least European, most of them. And mm-hmm. then we could, because Caitlin has a bit of background in beer now too. She's taken a beer course as an elective in her like current college degree. So I mm-hmm. thought it would be really cool for us to like get together and do a tasting and kind of discuss what we thought.
Also, outside of your work with the magazine and your other writing commitments, one of your part-time jobs is working at a craft brewery. Is that right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I work part-time at a craft brewery here in Halifax, retail/bartending. The bartending kind of fell by the wayside through some of the more serious lockdowns, but we've been getting back into actually serving pints and things. So yeah, it's been kind of fun.
And in general, like, you know, it's a small little crew for the magazine. Steven is a teetotaler, so he doesn't really drink anything. Mm-hmm. But I'd say between everybody, I'm more of the spirits kind of guy when it comes to the liquor I like to drink. You and Caitlin are probably more wine and craft beer, correct?
Yeah, Caitlin and I are both into wine and craft beer. Caitlin's also pretty into cider, which I like too. I'm not as into the cider world as I think she is. I don't seek it out quite as much. But yeah, I'm kind of a fan of the local drink scene all around.
This was a really fun issue for me to do. We were both tasked with the different parts of the drinking world that we gravitate to. I got to learn a lot about how whiskey's made and all the different kinds of spirits and the economics of making whiskey. And you guys recently, you did have this taste testing, that's correct.
Yeah, that was super fun.
Tell me a bit about it. We're going to cut to it shortly, but we're going to have to trim out some of it because you guys certainly provided me with a lot of material. give the audience kind of a brief overview of how that went.
Yeah, so I had kind of sorted out, so I had made some beer selections ahead of time, and Caitlin came over, and I sort of tried to sort them from lightest to heaviest, and then we kind of went one by one. So most of it, where I could, was local beer, local to Nova Scotia or the Maritimes at least, but we had a couple of other ones. So for example, Harp, which is a Pilsner made in Ireland. I just saw that that was available here. So although that's a larger brewery and not local, I thought we would try that one out. I also got Innis & Gunn's original Scotch Ale because I'd never had Scotch Ale before and neither had Caitlin. And I think there are a couple of craft breweries that do it seasonally, but I couldn't find anywhere that I could access it like year round locally. So I went with Innis & Gunn, and that one was kind of cool because, like I said, neither of us had tried that before. And I actually expected it to be like heavier and darker than it was. And it was definitely like on the heavier side as far as beer goes, but the taste was really interesting and not what I expected.
Well, let's not bury the lead any further. Let's cut to our exclusive footage of you guys trying out these beers and get a sense of what you guys thought.
Hi, everyone. This is Rebecca Dingwell, managing editor of Celtic Life International Magazine. One of the managing editors, I guess I should say. And I'm here with
Caitlin Mearns, the associate editor of Celtic Life International Magazine.
Since the cover story is focused on craft beer and spirits, I thought we could do a little beer tasting.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too, actually. Most of these I have tried, but there were a couple that I have not. Like, I've tried all the styles, but except for Scotch Ale, but in terms of particular beers, there are a couple that I haven't had, so a lot of these styles have been around for a long time, which is pretty cool. But what we're going to start off with is probably the like most simple one, and it is a lager. I believe it's a Pilsner specifically by Harp, and Harp is a pretty big brewery based out of Ireland. And I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about lager. It's a lager. They're pretty simple. They're kind of like when somebody is like, oh, I just want a beer, then a lager is the kind. Like, I work at a beer store as well, so if somebody doesn't know what they want, a Pilsner is probably what I would point them towards. So
fairly easy drinking.
Really, beer. Really easy drinking. Hear that nice fresh fresh snap of the can. We have mostly cans, one bottle. Oh, I poured a lot. I don't know why I poured that much.
Nothing like a healthy pour. That's what I always say. Yeah, see, I like that.
Yeah, it's nice. It's just kind of like what you'd would you want to have on a summer's day?
Yeah. Which is today.
Yeah, it's super humid today. It's the end of July as we're recording this, and it's East Coast Canada. It's going to be humid in the summer. We do not get that dry heat, but yeah, it's
refreshing.
It's refreshing, yeah. Mm.
It's going to be a bunch of just sipping.
Serve cold. It's not, I think this is where, I guess, craft breweries kind of differ from the larger one, is like pretty much all the other labels like have kind of big like meandering descriptions of what the beer is, but this one doesn't. And I mean, again, a lager is a lager. Yeah. Like, how much can you say about it? But I think that is like one of the big differences that you'll find with like craft versus, because they're just like, oh, you just want a beer.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah. No need to explain it. Just enjoy it. What is nice, though. I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah, me too. So this is, the next style I have is a wit beer. Also just called like a white beer or a bière blanche, depending on what region you're in. It is Belgian. And this is just, I feel like when I first started getting into drinking beer, I drank a lot of Rickard's White. Reading about wit beers earlier, I guess they've been around since like the 14th century, but they sort of, around the 1950s, they sort of fell out of popularity. One of the last breweries in Belgium that was making them, I think, closed in 57. It's sort of been going through a bit of a renaissance ever since, which is nice. So it's just very, it's light. It's kind of, I mean, it looks white when you pour it because it's kind of cloudy. And I think the main kind of notes are
orange peel and coriander. That's kind of what you get across the board when you're looking at a wit beer. The particular one that I have is called Sharpen Your Wit, which is fun, which is by Boxing Rock. It's a brewery out of Shelburne here in Nova Scotia.
This is actually my favorite kind of beer.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really, really like these kinds of beers.
It is up there for me.
Yeah.
I'll pour a little less this time. We can always have more after.
Yeah.
but, I mean, one, just like Two Crows here locally is a brewery that I quite like. It's one of my favorite local breweries, and a lot of their beers are Belgian style. They don't market it as Belgian, but most of them are Belgian style. And then Serpent Brewing, which I know we've both tried in Spryfield, is like they're almost all Belgian beer, and they have a really nice wit beer as well. But oh, this is nice.
Yeah, see, I love this.
And it's interesting because this, it looks, when you look at it, it's more of a golden color. It looks more like a lager.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm used to seeing a more, like, hazy kind of look when I look at wit beer. But this is, like, this is quite clear in comparison to other ones I've had.
It's quite pretty.
Yeah. I'm going to move, rotate some of these cans so we can get into...
Oh, this stuff.
I'm starting to feel it now. Like, even though I haven't had that much.
Oh, I know. I'm terrible.
I'm sorry. Starting to feel.
Everyone, beware. Let's to come.
Yeah, let's not talk politics or anything. Elections coming up. Can you imagine?
No, not tonight.
We're just like, oh boy. All right, I'm gonna bring out the
little ones,
the teeny glasses for this one because this is 6.6%.
Woo!
And again, like I'm feeling bad.
Like this Loch Ness monster.
Oh yeah, this is my friend Kirsty. Shout out Kirsty if you're listening, who is from Scotland. When she went to Scotland, she came to my high school. I think it was grade 11 or 12, and she went back home on a trip, and she brought like everyone in my friend group back. Shot glasses, and I got the Loch Ness Monster one, which I really enjoyed. So it is on theme for this beer, which is a Scottish beer. It is a Scotch ale, which I've never had a Scotch ale before. This is Innis and Gunn, which is, I think it's like pretty well known. It's kind of, I feel like Innis and Gunn to Scotch ale is as Garrison to Stout, if you will. Like, I feel like this is kind of like...
Guinness?
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's just kind of like, that's the
same vibe.
Yeah. I know that Alex has had this before, my husband, but I don't think I've had this before.
I haven't had it, I don't think, but I feel like this is kind of an iconic can.
Yes, I've seen the can. The can is, like, red, and it's got, like, some gold... And, like, the text is in, like, white, and it's an Innocent Gun, the original, barrel-aged, crafted in Scotland.
It's really selling itself to us.
Yeah, so it says, the original is our flagship beer, the one that started all. Our unique bourbon barrel-aging process unlocks flavors like vanilla and toffee, which combine with the multi-character of our Scotch ale to create an incredible taste experience.
I feel good about this one.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. But yeah, like the Scotch ale, like there are, it's all like all the names of these beers. I'm just like, couldn't you have made it like a bit more distinct? Like they're like, oh, but like what, like best bitter versus extra special bitter, or like special versus extra. But so Scotch ale is like the strongest version of Scottish ales in general. And again, they're more malty than hoppy, and they've got some, like, that kind of, like, toffee flavor to them. But again, I don't think I've had one, and I couldn't find, like, just a regular can of a locally made Scotch ale. I think it was Saltbox that had, like, this, like, oh, gift pack version. It must have been seasonal or something, but I feel like this one... Locally, I'm sure people do it. I think there was a brewery in Cape Breton that does one, but it wasn't one that was available at any NSLC and HRM. So I was like, well, I'm not driving to Bedeck for that. As nice as that would be.
Bit of a commute.
but I'm very interested.
Yeah. It says bourbon at the
bottom. Yeah, bourbon barrels, I guess.
I do love bourbon.
Which I don't really drink bourbon, but when there is a bourbon barrel aged beer, I almost always like it.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah, so.
Oh, let's do this. Oh, this is, okay. So this is actually lighter.
It does look lighter, yeah.
Oh, see, I enjoy this.
Oh, this is really different. Mm.
It's not as carbonated. It's a little bit, I feel like I'm back in beer class, but it's a little bit like smoother, mm-hmm. not as smooth as like a stout would be.
Yeah, it's lighter. It's almost it's a really light kind of ambery, almost like light, like orange almost. But then again, the shot glass I'm drinking this out of has like a yellow.
It's so cute.
I'm doing it to the Wonder Woman shot glass that I have. Yeah, this is really interesting. It's not quite what I expected.
I find it to be easier to drink. Like, it's...
Yeah, which is very interesting, given that it's, like, a higher percentage in that it's, like... Because usually I find, like, the bourbon barrel age, like heavier. You get that, like, heavier, like boozy, I guess, is the boozy. Word. Boozy. It's all booze.
But, it is, but this is boozier.
They call them, but it's not... It's not as...
Oh, she's going for seconds.
I'm gonna have another shot of glass full.
I'll do it, too.
Go for it. Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I would drink this again. I could drink this all night long. I mean, I probably couldn't. Or could I?
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, could you versus should you, right?
No, it's really nice. And I can taste, like... I can taste kind of the bourbon and, like the aftertaste.
Yeah. And like the vanilla is there.
Ooh, yeah.
Like it's not super strong, but it is there.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like.
I didn't taste it until you said it, but now I'm like, oh yeah, look at that. Yeah. It's really good.
I'm impressed with this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna definitely like keep an eye out for Scotch ales because
yum.
I've discovered a new beer that I like. Yay.
What a win for the night.
Yeah, this is like...
The Scots know how to do it, don't they?
They do! What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? Early in the morning. Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, up she rises. Way, hey, up she rises. Early in the morning. Shave his belly with a rusty razor. Shave his belly with a rusty razor. Shave his belly with a rusty razor. Early in the morning. Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey. Up she rises, way, hey, and up she rises early in the morning. Put him in the hole with the captain's daughter. Put him in the hole with the captain's daughter. Put him in the hole with the captain's daughter early in the morning. Way, hey, and up she rises, way, hey, and up she rises, way, hey, and up she rises early in the morning. What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor early in the morning? Way, hey, and up she rises, way, hey, and up she rises, way, hey. Up she rises early in the morning. Put him in the back of the paddy wagon. Put him in the back of the paddy wagon. Put him in the back of the paddy wagon early in the morning. Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, up she rises early in the morning. Throw him in the lockup till he's sober. Throw him in the lockup till he's sober. Throw him in the lockup till he's sober early in the morning. Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, and up she rises early in the morning. What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor early in the morning? Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, and up she rises early in the morning. Sailor, what do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor early in the morning? Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, and up she rises early in the morning. Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, and up she rises. Way, hey, up she rises early.
Great Big Sea's Drunken Sailor. That's a popular one around here in the Nova Scotia area. We wanted to have a theme-appropriate playlist for this episode, so Stephen was kind enough to send me a few drinking songs for the occasion. Well, that was very informative and effervescent. Without, you know, maybe you've had a little bit of time to sit and think on this, Rebecca. What do you think was the top standout beer that you guys tasted, at least in your opinion?
Oh, it's so hard to say because I like different beers for different reasons and different occasions. But I'm especially proud of my choice of stout, which was one that's called Serial Killer. Serial as in like cereal, the food, because it's an oatmeal stout. And Caitlin had told me that she really doesn't like stouts, like, because when we think of stouts, we usually think of Guinness, which is a dry stout or a traditional Irish stout. But this was one that I particularly liked, and it's a little bit different than I think some people might associate, just because of that Guinness thing being the stout, if you will. And so I already knew that I liked this one, but then being able to get Caitlin to try it, and she conceded like, oh yeah, like I actually like that one. So I was kind of proud that I was able to introduce her to a stout that she enjoyed.
That's great.
Yeah.
I also did a tasting actually this morning, the day we're recording this. But before we get to that, I wanted to share a few extra tidbit stories from my research, because I looked into, as much as you guys looked into the beer side of things, I looked into the spirit side of things. And my main story was about how to get into the whiskey world today, the modern world, like kind of from scratch. And it's really challenging. You kind of almost have to invent history, or not invent history, that's a little disingenuous, but you have to find some kind of histrionic connection to encourage certain people to open their wallets to you. And one of the companies we spoke to was Lindor's Abbey Distillery, and they're opening on a spot that was essentially the birthplace of whiskey as we know it, at least from a records perspective. The earliest known records of this product called Aqua Vitae, which would become whiskey, was on this plot of land where they're distilling. And this part didn't make it into the piece, but I really wanted to share it. They found some archaeological evidence of the actual brewing techniques that were used. And I think it's a really neat story about these old wells that they found. So with your permission, I'm going to cut to a piece of that. How does that sound?
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Physically, there's not been a distillery there then until 2017. Is that correct? Like, a structure.
Well, funny enough, one of the nicest things that happened before the distillery is built on our old farm steading. So my family farmed here. Well, they bought in 1913, and it's just a small farm in rural Fife. Then when we built the distillery, we had to take down the farm steading, put a steel frame in and build it back up again to turn it into this distillery. But because we're right next door to an ancient monument, we had to do a lot of archaeological work as well. Mm. And what we found, which was an absolute surprise to everyone, and arguably it could be a bit like the Holy Grail. So when we were doing the archaeology, we found this structure, which at first we thought, well, I say we, the archaeologists, thought was a well, because it's a circle of stones that was full of water, and we'd uncovered this when we were doing the archaeology. But then she took the water out, and what we had was actually a clay bowl, and everyone was kind of wondering what it was. And then she said, well, this could be a base of a still, that this could be the furnace underneath a still, which was very exciting. But until we could do more research, it was a nice thought, but we couldn't really take it much further than that. So then we carried out scientific tests called FLOTS tests. Don't ask me what FLOTS stands for, but something archaeological, something scientific. And what that gave us was carbon, wood, and traces of barley. So I think we can confidently now say it was the base of a still. So to find that here at Lindor's is a huge story. The reason we haven't really made it a huge story at the moment is part of the whole reason for me doing this project was to be able to preserve Lindor's, or what's left of Lindor's Abbey. And arguably, this original still, we'll call it, has been buried underground for 500 odd years. And all I'd done is uncover it. So if I'm going on about preserving things, I've done exactly the opposite of that. So what we've done since then, you know, so it's on my conscience in a sense. So it's covered up now and has been for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And all our focus this year has obviously, and all Gary's focus, the whole team, has been getting our whiskey out to the wide world. Mm-hmm. Next year, we can look at, well, that'll still be happening, don't get me wrong, but we can look at how we can make this hugely important historic site available to the public, if you see what I mean. Because the trouble is, at the moment, if I took the tarpaulin off and we said to people, come and look at our super historic still, it would last about a week. So we're trying to work out how to wait to get a viewing platform, keep it, because it has to be protected from the weather and all sorts of stuff. So whilst there wasn't a huge functioning distillery here all those years ago, this original still, if you like, is a great thing to kind of back up the story with Friar John Corner's 8 Bowls of Malt.
That was Thin Lizzy, Whiskey in the Jar. So yeah, I just thought that was worth sharing. What did you think of that story, Rebecca?
Yeah, that's incredible. I think it's really cool to kind of get into the history of these sorts of things and, you know, how long these spirits and beers have been around for, and how it's been like an interesting part of culture, and in some cases almost like a survival thing.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people drank beer because it was safer than water back in the day because it had been distilled, right?
Yeah.
But we all, and that is something we spoke about in the article, but I also touched on more modern trends as well, including I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Stuart Dick, who is a whiskey TikToker.
Oh.
Yeah, he goes by the name the Dram Dabbler, and he's very like mixology positive and all this stuff. I asked him about how he's using social media, this, you know, relatively new technology, to spread the good name of a very, very old and well-trodden drink. So that's the other piece I have here. I'm going to cut to it right now, and here we go. How are you using social media to promote Scotch in a way that hasn't been done before, and why does it work now?
I think so. Using social media to promote Scotch, yeah, has been done, and I think it's a generational thing. I think what I'm doing slightly differently, and I'm not trying to pretend that I'm reinventing the wheel, not by any stretch of the imagination, but it comes down to the platform. And I know that TikTok for brands is a scary platform, because if you don't get it, it's a weird place to be. And for an awful lot of people, it's full of kids, it's full of weird dances, it's just full of nonsense. So I think that's, and I just decided to take a different approach and go down that route. And I think by doing that, I've been able to reach people who are otherwise totally underserved by any other marketing efforts by the whiskey industry. Because, and as I said, it's a generational thing. So it's a younger generation. I'm a member of a whole load of whiskey groups on Facebook. And there's a load of people who follow me on TikTok who were already into whiskey, but they never joined any of these groups because it just didn't appeal to them. It just wasn't something that did anything for them. So being able to them in this way results in them being far more engaged in it. And the thing which I find quite incredible is actually I've made some really great friends as a result of it, people who have connected with me and who I've connected with, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I think it's getting past all of that nonsense and that dusty image. And I think that makes a big difference. It gets through that and it gets past that.
I was going to say, yeah, is that how, I mean, I don't watch a lot of whiskey ads, but all the ones that I would see are like the traditional spirits of Scotland, blah, blah, blah. And it's all like, you know, a man in a house coat with a flagon and a decanter. And it's like, oh yes, the classic image, right? Does that, like, is that a marketing appeal that doesn't really appeal to young folks?
I think so. I think it definitely does not appeal to young folks. I think there's a cultural aspect to that, to be fair. And I think in certain markets, for certain generations, that's what appeals. Within the UK, certainly that doesn't work. Nobody's interested in that. Even using the word Scotch to describe it, and I make a point of doing it, it's one of those things, and I've seen it loads of times, you use the word Scotch on social media, and people, it's not Scotch, it's whiskey. Well, it is Scotch whiskey. Look at the bottle. Look at every single bottle. It says Scotch whiskey. Now, it's one of those things that people push back on, and it's nonsense. Because if you say whiskey, you could be meaning any whiskey whatsoever, anything in the world, bourbon, Canadian, Aussie whiskey, Indian whiskey. It doesn't matter. You say whiskey, nobody knows what you're saying. So I make a point of using it. But yes, I think the old style marketing, it has worked, and those campaigns were innovative in their day, but things are changing. Mm-hmm. The world is changing. People don't, as I said, people don't want to drink their granddad's Scotch. That's not the image they want. They don't want this image of a bunch of old guys saying you've got to drink it neat or not at all, sitting, as you say, sitting by a fire, smoking a giant cigar or a pipe or whatever nonsense they've dreamed up for that ad. They want to know that they can drink it however they like it, whether it's with water, whether it's with ice, whether it's in a cocktail. It doesn't matter. Do we like?
That was the Mahoneys, their single Whiskey Devils. Sounds like a fun guy, eh?
Yeah, I would like to have that job, actually. How can I get in on that kind of thing?
Well, hey, he's the whiskey TikToker, but no, maybe you can be the craft beer TikToker.
Oh, true, true. Yeah.
You should do that. All right, now without any further ado, this morning, I was lucky enough to be able to visit the port by NSLC. The NSLC is the Nova Scotia Liquor Corporation for those outside of the region. They're kind of like fancy stores called the Port. And that's where you can get a lot of the liquors that are hard to find through just your usual distribution methods. And they were gracious enough to have me down there this morning for a bit of a sampling of the non-whiskey liquors and spirits that I really wanted to talk about in the article, but only got to mention briefly. Well, now here's an opportunity to experience what those taste like and how where they come from affects their flavors. And I had a really good assortment of things to try. I had liquor for breakfast, so that was fun. But
it's 5 o'clock somewhere, as they say.
Yes, exactly. It always is. And by the way, the NSLC, because of their kindness here, they are our sponsors for this week's episode. So thank you so much, NSLC. Let's cut to our taste testing of some fine Celtic spirit with myself and Jennifer Katona. More and more Celtic spirits other than whiskey are coming up in the world as well. So Jennifer is very graciously going to give me a sampling of a few examples that they have here at the NSLC port. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
And I always like to think of the port as the adult candy store in
Halifax. This is the adult freak lunchbox.
Yes, exactly. So there's usually lots of the more harder to find type products at this location, mm-hmm. as well as some of our bigger stores across the province. So we came to the right spot to try things that are unique.
What's your position here with the NSLC? Like, are you a marketing person?
I am the spirits buyer.
Oh.
So I buy all the product for spirits and manage the category for Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. So these products are little things I've found along the way that I thought...
You've personally curated them.
Yes, I did.
So you know how good these taste.
I do, yeah. Not always, but quite often when we bring things that are unique like this in, mm-hmm. we do like to try them first as a tasting panel.
Sure.
So I get to be part of that, which is a fun part of the job.
So what she's preparing, if she sounds a little distant, she's still setting up everything. What she's preparing there's an example of, I believe it's Scottish vodka? No, Irish vodka.
Irish vodka.
Irish vodka. Irish gin, right?
No, this is Scottish.
That's Scottish gin.
Yes.
Some Magnum original... What's this here?
This is a cream liqueur.
Yeah.
The Magnum original cream liqueur, and it is from Scotland.
Yeah. And then the thing I'm most excited to try is Mad March Hare Irish Push Gin, which is basically moonshine, right?
It is, yeah. I think the Americans own that term, moonshine.
Yeah.
But it's become a little bit global as legal restrictions of making it have actually lifted. So can you hear me okay there?
We should, yeah. I mean, okay. we're a little loosey-goosey with the audio quality for these sort of things. We're still new to the podcasting scene. But as long as people can hear each other, like, that's fine. So, now everything is prepared.
Yes.
What would you recommend I start with?
I would definitely recommend starting with the vodka.
And before I take a little sip, tell me a bit about this vodka here. Sausage Tree, pure Irish vodka.
Yes. So I think people often think of Poland or Russia when they think vodka. Those mm-hmm. are some of the homelands of the distilled spirit.
Potato vodka.
Exactly. That's my favorite style of vodka. This is actually using grain mm-hmm. as a base, but it's made from a little distillery that is in County Leitrim. Drumshambo is the name of the town, mm-hmm. and it's about a 2-hour and 15-minute drive away from Dublin.
They make a gin too, right?
That's actually how they started in 2015. Mm-hmm. It's called Shed Distillery is the name of the distillery
itself. It's gunpowder gin?
Gunpowder gin. Ah. It's beautiful. And I think then they wanted to make something unique with vodka. Mm-hmm. So I always like to dispel the myth that vodka is very neutral, it has no taste, it's mm-hmm. flavorless, odorless. I would say this is going to actually dispute that.
Well, I took a sniff while you're talking. It definitely has some floral scents that and the imagery on the label certainly backs that up. But let me take my first sip here.
Okay.
Oh. Mmm. So yeah, it definitely does taste like vodka. There's no surprises there, but it's very. It's a lot more effervescent than most vodka, I find.
And there is a reason for that. It's actually, they did add a bit of essences to it. Mm-hmm. So the reason it's called Sausage Tree is because it is getting fruit from the sausage tree in Africa.
There's actually a sausage tree?
There is a sausage tree. It's Kagella is the name, actually, the official name of the tree. Mm-hmm. But because the fruit looks like sausage, they've called it a sausage tree.
Okay, yeah.
And the distiller and the owner of the of Shed Distillery, it reminded the flavors of that fruit reminded him of the Irish nettle.
So he took
those two ingredients and then macerated them in with the vodka, which is allowable and it still can be called a vodka. Mm-hmm. It adds that little bit of a fruity note to it, so you start to taste that in the...
There's definitely a more... Again, I don't want to repeat the word here, but it has a botanical kind of quality to it.
But it's very subtle. I would never think of this as a gin.
No.
It's just got that little bit of touch of fruitiness.
Yeah, and a little bit of, like you say, nettles, or even a pine almost. A very subtle hint.
Right, exactly.
It's definitely really, like, you could give that to someone in a mix and say this is a vodka mix, and it'd be just fine. But as is, on its own, it's very, it stands out above other vodkas.
Absolutely.
I really like it.
I really think it has a unique finish. So yes, it would actually work well if you just had soda. Mm-hmm. Or you wanted to drink it neat.
What would you recommend as the best mix for that? How would you recommend drinking that other than straight?
Okay, so I would probably do that with something quite subtle in flavor. I might do like just a vodka tonic. Mm-hmm. But I would just pick something like soda with maybe a splash of fresh fruit just to bring out
bubbly. The bubblies.
Yes, exactly.
So that was the Irish vodka.
Yes.
The next on our plate is Isle of Harris gin.
Yes.
And that is Scottish, right?
Scottish. Okay. So we're going now, and this is what I love about gin. There's such a major market in Ireland and Scotland, and the UK in general, on gin production. I'm a bit of a cork dork, so I love my wine.
I love that phrase, cork dork.
Yes. So I think of the best way to approach spirits, if you're a wine lover, is to start in the gin category. Because it really is one of those spirits that reflects the region it comes from, because you can use so many different botanicals in that.
Awesome. Yeah, and I always found, when I first started drinking, I found gin to be very potent. It's a very strong flavor.
Right.
But I've come to appreciate it a lot more in the recent years, and I just sniffed this. You may have heard me go, "Oh,
yes."
It has a very kind of like of the sea quality, and I do note. I mean, I don't know if this is my brain telling me something I've read, but on the label it says it's infused with sugar kelp. What's that?
So they actually this is coming from the Outer Hebrides, so it's just a shoot off to the west of Inverness on the Isle of Lewis. I wanted to make sure I got the right isle there. Isle of Lewis. Harris is a little township on the Isle of Lewis. And so they're actually diving into the ocean and grabbing some sugar kelp.
Wow.
So it's unique to that region. So right in there, you know that this is a bit of a special gin because they need to go to so much lengths. You're not just foraging in the ground.
I think it's the most expensive single item in our little tasting menu here.
Yeah, I think, that's danger pay. Let's put it in there.
All right, let's take a sip here. Let's try this out. Ooh, yeah, definitely a sea quality to it.
Yeah, there's a salinity.
That's it. There's a saltiness to it that I don't find with most gin, but it's not overpowering. I was almost a little worried sniffing it. It's like, oh my God, this is going to be like drinking seawater.
Right.
But it's very subtle. It's not even as sharp as gin, I find, usually is.
No, the juniper still punches out, so that's what qualifies it as a gin, because you want that and all the other botanicals like angelica root, coriander, all of the other elements they normally put into a gin, but just has that extra little feeling of being of the ocean.
Now, what would you, again, if for people who are a little nervous about tasting this kind of stuff straight, what would you recommend for this?
I think just because of you don't want to lose that element of the ocean that has, I would actually just again do this with soda, tonic, or just use a really good quality tonic, something that's not going to dominate all of those layers of complexity. So being mindful of that with a nice squeeze of lime on that would be fantastic.
Maybe a bitter lemon kind of drink?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe introduce some of that citrus peel to it as well.
I think I would certainly try that at home for myself.
Yeah.
The next thing on our list here is the thing I've been most anticipating, because I know what gin tastes like, I know what vodka tastes like, I know what cream liqueur tastes like in general. These are all very unique, but I've never had Poitin, which is, again, it's called Irish moonshine. So tell me a little bit about this. This is Mad March Hare.
Mad March Hare, so a distillery in Ireland. They make this product in the West Cork area. So Poitin is something that's been around in Ireland for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's actually probably one of their first distilled products, to be honest, before we got into the world of aging whiskies and things like that. But that's essentially what this is. It's unaged whiskey. And Poitin is translated in Gaelic to pot. So this is a pot distilled product. They're using malted barley, which again is a bit unique, because most Irish whiskies that we'd be familiar with use an unmalted barley. That's that grassy flavor you get in Irish whiskies. But this, we're using malted barley, and it's just fresh off the still.
All right.
So no aging required.
No. And which is good. This is part of the story we talked about, is how whiskey is such a risky venture to start out in, because you have to wait 3 years to sell it. That's one of the reasons why gins are really taking off, things like this. And I spoke to one distillery that's doing aqua vitae instead, and you don't have any of that here, but I actually have a little sample coming to me in the mail, so I'm excited. I might add that in. I've sniffed this, and right off the bat, it is really chocolatey.
Yes, I find there's a honeyed, candied quality to it.
It's really surprisingly sweet smelling.
Yeah, it is.
So let's take a sip. Let's. By the way, for our listeners, I'm doing this at 10 in the morning, so this is a great way to start your day.
It is actually the best time of the day to start, because you don't have all the flavors of the food you've eaten all day. All
right, let's try it out. Whoa. It definitely, that chocolatey flavor is still there,
yeah,
but it quickly evaporates into a really sharp kind of just a liquor flavor. It's really nice. And it does have that whiskey quality to it.
Right.
That finish. This is awesome. I love this, actually.
Well, I think what's interesting about this is that all the flavor for me on the palate is up front, mm-hmm. and then it dissipates pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So it really allows you, if this was never going to be your everyday drink, but mm-hmm. you wanted to try a whiskey before it's whiskey, that nuance of oak and all the barrel aging comes in the finish.
Oh my God, that is what I'm getting. It's like I'm tasting a tree.
Yeah,
I'm getting some woody notes at the end.
Power suggested as well, because it is totally an oak.
No, but that's the thing. I was thinking, there's a quality here. How do I describe it? I can't even think of it. And then you said barrels, and I'm like, it's some kind of wood.
Yeah, well, and I think what's interesting about that as well is that you can feel that this has the foundation of being a whiskey.
Exactly. It starts off really different from a whiskey, but finishes really strongly like a whiskey without that really strong whiskey quality, you know? Right. This is actually surprisingly light, and it's bubbly. It's a little... It's easy drinking.
Exactly. I think that there's... I always think of spirits and wine for that matter having a lot of top notes or, like, musical notes. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of top notes, not a lot of bass or, like, that's where...
The crescendos!
Yes, exactly. It's up higher on the scale. But I think that this is something to add to your collection if you're just looking for something unique and a talking point, really.
I'm going to have to buy some of that sometime.
Yeah. This is like a summertime...
It is, yeah. Yeah. Now... I feel like it's almost sacrilege to ask, how do you mix moonshine? Because you think of it as like that scene from Parks and Rec where Ron is just like drinking grain alcohol from the shoulder. But what would you recommend for people who are a little scared to try it straight?
I think you could actually make a martini out of this. And maybe actually add some more flavors in there. Mm-hmm. Just because, again, you've got that really heavy front finish. You'd want to add some flavors on the back end of it. Just mm-hmm. to kind of fill out the back end. Because then you find it drops off a bit quickly. Mm-hmm.
So, you could do something that kind of highlights those chocolate notes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would say the candied nature of it. You mm-hmm. can have some fun with that. Some...
Apple martini kind of mix. Candied apple.
So
this is Magnum Original Cream Liqueur from Scotland.
So it's the base is actually single malt.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's actually you said that on the phone. It's like whiskey base. Is that is that the case for most cream liqueurs?
No, this is the only one in Scotland that's using a single malt.
Oh, wow.
Because some might think sacrilege.
I was going to say that they're very stringent on their what you call Scotch over there. So.
Yes. Benriach is the base single malt. Mm-hmm. It's Speyside single malt Scotch, and they're blending this in Edinburgh with Dutch cream.
Nice. It's like in a metal like keg canister. It's really neat, and it's topped with a tartan wrapper at the top.
Right, exactly. And I think that's one of my favorite. I mean, it's delicious, the product itself, but almost as important to me because I'm very environmentally conscious. And so what I love about this product is that canister actually becomes reusable and recyclable.
Yeah.
You can use it as a canteen afterwards.
I, they're all recyclable to me. I have so much empty liquor bottles full of chilled water in the summer. It's crazy.
There you go.
I've smelled it. It's hard to really be surprised by something that smells like... It's a cream liqueur, but it smells delightful.
I get melted Werther's.
Yeah, I definitely get a caramel note, maybe a hint of amaretto.
Right, okay.
So let's try it. That is heavenly.
Yes.
Now, I will say this. It does have a really, for cream liqueur, a very strong alcohol tint at the end. It gets the sides of your tongues tickled.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's so... It's like the actual cream is so smooth. It's a really interesting juxtaposition of mouthfeel. What would you say?
Absolutely, I would agree. I think that you do get that feeling of the single malt punching through the heaviness of the cream. Mm-hmm. Just really beautifully balanced. And as you say, like I like that edge of the single malt on the palate, but then that weight on the middle, which just kind of makes it linger again. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to ask about mixing because it's already candy.
Nice.
If you're afraid to taste this, you're afraid of alcohol, my friend. But it is super good. Are these... Now, some of these are exclusive here to the port.
Right.
But other ones are... You can get them elsewhere through NSLC, is that correct?
You can always order them online, or you can... there are a number of them. Where you are in Nova Scotia, you're usually close to a signature store, which mm-hmm. is one of our bigger stores. And they have a port section in there that runs around the front of the store when you walk in.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll see these things pop up in those stores.
And then hopefully for our more international listeners... They'll find ways to find this stuff.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, there's a will, there's a way. I finished off my cream liqueur. I just drank that. That's just That's my cleanser, my palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Well, this has definitely been a treat. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for helping me drink in the morning and get away with it.
All right.
Just to finish off, you mentioned you have a little story about the mythical unicorn gin I'm going to try later.
Yes. So obviously in my role, I'm always on the hunt for some new and interesting products. And there is a drinks company in the UK called Manchester Drinks Company. Mm-hmm. And they make a lot of really eclectic kind of, there's a new trend in the market around ready to serve. Mm-hmm. So if we think about some of the vodka sodas that are out there, they're like in the can and more individual servings. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side of that is people want to get more interested in mixology, and certainly COVID, you know, kept us out of restaurants and bars to experience that. People are kind of making them all ready for you to enjoy.
Right.
Just add something to that's non-alcoholic just to make mm-hmm. it into a cocktail.
You don't really need to add anything to this, I have to mention. It looks like nail polish.
No,
it's already
big. You know what? I'm not the target market on this, I will admit, but I can't just buy for myself. I need to buy for a wide variety of our customers. And so this, it looks like, I'm going to say this, and you're never going to be able to get rid of the visual. It reminds me of the bubble bath I had when I was 5.
Yes, yep. Definitely so get this, that vibe.
So they had fun with the word and the name of the product. Mm-hmm. And I was skeptical. I thought, I'd bring it in. It's almost like liquid cotton candy.
Yeah.
And I thought, we'll see how it does. I'll bring in a little bit. This stuff flew out. It was sold out within 5 days.
It's super inexpensive, too. Like, it's only $25.
Exactly.
Here.
Yeah. And the ABV is on the lower side because it's kind of ready to be a cocktail.
But, and it's also probably swimming with sugar.
There's a little bit of sugar in there, I think, it can be safe to say. And we've had to do 2 reorders of it already because mm-hmm. it's just gone like gangbusters.
Well, I'm going to try this. I haven't tasted it yet, but you know what? We're going to kick over to future me and try it right now.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks, past Chris. I hope you enjoyed your tasting, and I know you did because I'm future Chris. So we have one last tasting experience here, and I'm joined this time live by Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Chris.
I figured it would be fun to try one last thing that it's not so much an educational tasting like everything else we've done was. It's more just out of sheer morbid curiosity. Why don't you read that for me, Rebecca?
All right, so it looks like this is from Manchester Drinks Company, and it is Mystical Unicorn Gin Liqueur.
Small batch gin, traditionally distilled and cut with magical mountain spring water, infused with candy floss and marshmallow. Shake to awake the magic. And I did this myself before you came over, but watch this when I shake it.
It is magical.
How would you describe that?
It's like very, like, it's like a pinky pearl.
Yeah, it's very pearlescent. I kind of, it's like, what do you call it? It's like nail polish, but also the moving clouds of Jupiter. That's what it kind of reminds me of. So, I have a couple glasses here. Do you want to have another tasting?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, 1 second. I've got some snifters here. Salute.
Cheers.
Yeah, you can definitely get the candy floss in that.
Yeah, it's definitely that candy floss or cotton candy flavor
mm-hmm.
up front.
And but the gin part isn't too intense.
No, because I'm not normally a big gin person. I'll have it in cocktails, but straight by itself, it's not really my jam. It's a bit like, you know, the almost like piney flavors and the juniper.
Yeah, it has something of a cleaner kind of quality to it.
Yeah, and
a little artificial.
Yeah, and I mean this is
this is hardly the most natural liquor product we've ever tasted, far from it, but
it's very interesting, and mm-hmm. I don't hate it.
But given the fact that it's alcohol and then tons of sugar, this is a potion for hangovers, so be careful.
Yeah, you don't want to be going through a bottle of that in a night.
But you know, a little taste of it to go alongside your dessert for the night, that could be fun. It's a conversation piece.
Definitely, it is definitely that.
All right, well, that's pretty much. I think between the two of us, we've had probably a few gallons of alcohol for this this podcast issue and episode. So that's it from us here at Celtic Life. Join us next time for another episode of CLIP, Celtic Life International Podcast. Ciao for now.
Bye.
This is future Chris cutting in with a special bulletin. The Newfoundland Distilling Company just got under the wire and was kind enough to send me a full bottle. I only paid for a small one, but I got a full bottle of their triple distilled Aquavit, which is similar to what the Lindor's Abbey folks were making with their Aquavite. We can't get that in because they're still working out the logistics of sending that over, so it's not possible. But this will be something kind of similar. It's made with barley, honey, and juniper-smoked peat from Newfoundland. So I'm going to try a little sample of this right now, just so we have this as part of the podcast as well. You even heard the cork pop. Mmm, has a spicy quality to it. Let's try this. Ooh. Yes, it's definitely like a proto form of whiskey. Like, it's certainly of that sort of make, but it has a lot of more botanical elements, like that honey. Ooh. It's actually a little bit spicy and a little sweet. So, boy, that's some good stuff.